Okay, we will kick off and welcome to another episode of our weekly webinar series. Today we're talking about maximizing AI-based threat detection. AI is something that is absolutely everywhere, everyone's favorite buzzword. But there are questions around its use and particularly around its accuracy. But one area where it's excelled over the last number of years is in threat detection. AI, through methods such as machine learning and deep learning, can join all the dots across huge swathes of data to be able to find the needle in a haystack, a security needle, a security alert in a giant haystack of data. But is it a silver bullet? Is it a fire and forget technology? Or does it still need help identifying the right needle in that now stack of security needles that it's found? Those are the questions that we're here to ask and also answer, very importantly. So let me introduce our speakers for today. Chris, or my speaker for the day, should I say, Chris Durand. If you'd like to move the slides on, Chris. Chris leads our Network Detection and Response Managed Services and serves as the product owner for Managed DSOC. With a strong background in service delivery and cybersecurity, Chris has been instrumental in transforming Darktrace services into fully managed offering. In nearly 4 years with the company, his leadership has driven innovation and enhanced services value for our clients. So welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Rich.
So if we move on to the agenda very quickly there, Chris, please. Just waiting for that slide to come up. There we go. So our agenda today, so AI threat detection, the reality and challenges. So getting to the bottom of what AI threat detection is and use, why network detection in specifically matters, best practices for AI-powered security, so how to get the very best out of the technologies you're deploying, and that need for continuous monitoring and expert intervention. We'll also have a QA at the very end. So there is a QA function available. So please click the QA button and ask questions as we go all along. And there will also be a poll that we'll do at one point. So keep an eye out for the poll popping up. And please do answer, and we'll get to the answer to that poll and look at the outcome at the very end as part of the QA. So Chris, over to you. You can take it from here.
Well, thank you, Richard. So if we look at that first question, what is AI threat detection? Richard mentioned that it's taken many forms. The most common interaction that we have as individuals is the ChatGPT and those LLMs, where we have the most interaction on a daily basis. But it's far more than that, as Richard alluded to. So if we were to ask that question or search, if we were to do an online search, you would get something very similar to what you see on screen. It is an artificial intelligence driven to identify, analyze, and respond to cyber threats in real time. And that's quite important. It leverages many things or many aspects, such as machine learning, behavioral analysis, which is becoming more and more relevant, anomaly detection, of course, to make sure that what's not normal is detected. And against all those kinds of threats, potential intrusions, emerging threats, novel threats, all those kinds of things that will be present is what AI threat detection aims to unearth. So it does involve quite a few elements or steps. The first part, of course, is data collection and analysis. So AI has the ability to ingest large amounts of data, far more than we could in the past. It looks at endpoint activity, it looks at user behavior and log data, of course, and it continuously learns from these sources of information to learn patterns and trends. The next part would be anomaly detection. So what AI tries to do is establish a baseline of what's normal. So as soon as there are deviations from this normal, that would be flagged as suspicious activity. So, for example, where there's an unusual login or a login to a location which isn't normally logged in by a particular segment or user, that could be raised as anomalous. Behavioral analysis, like I mentioned, this is quite important. It's all about instead of relying on static rules like signature-based detection, AI monitors behavior over time and builds that normal baseline. Threat intelligence, of course, that's always valuable. We have a plethora of data information available out there about known threats. So that plays a very important role as well in our threat detection capability. And AI leverages that. So with its ability to process information at rapid pace, it's able to ingest that and use that and apply that information across what it learns about each individual organization that AI is playing a pivotal role. And then, of course, automated responses and mitigation. So many systems out there, AI-driven systems out there, have the ability to take action. So not only to detect certain things or certain malicious activity, but also to take action automatically. And that can take the form of, that can take many forms. So as an example, it could be baked into the solution. It could be referencing or making use of outside systems, firewalls, for example, plugging in, integrating. So there's many ways that that automated response and mitigation can take place. So if we were to consider the risk, it's growing. AI-driven security solutions are growing, and it really has been a game changer. It's transformed cyber defense because of that rapid analysis ability. But is that enough? We see that 60% of organizations that are using AI-driven threat detection are still getting undetected breaches or still experiencing undetected breaches. So if you look at the scenario, imagine this: your AI-powered security tool flags a suspicious event, but no one acts on it, and then a breach occurs. So who's to blame? Who's responsible for that activity? Is it the analyst who didn't look at the screen or the tool daily? Is it the tool's fault for not taking certain actions? Is it the manager's fault for not driving that process to make sure that all those areas are covered? A very simple high-level case study. We have a customer who has become a customer, a national supermarket in Kenya, were using AI security tools, but still suffered that breach because these tasks or activities were flagged, but nobody checked them, nobody looked at them, nobody took the time to actually investigate those. And it's not always about looking at those events and reading them and observing that they actually happened, but it's also about knowing what to do. It's one thing having the information, but it's equally important to know what to do. So one of the key, I'll see that the poll came up. Thanks, Richard. So one of the key elements or focus areas that we have is network. So an NDR solution, a network detect and response solution. And the reason why this is so important is because it gives us visibility into a network. There's an old adage that you can't manage what you can't see, and that rings true with an NDR in place. You're able to manage and look and see what's happening. All the transactions, all network transactions, whether it's malicious activity or regular expected activity, has to follow certain gates in order to be effective. So network activity unearths many things, hidden threats. And these hidden threats are usually try to go undetected. They're trying to be adversarial AI evasion. So they're trying to put in place or learn what AI is doing, and then feeding different information to that AI, making it make decisions about threats that it should not. So it can, that AI evasion tools, we've seen a rise in those methods as well. These low and slow attacks also play a big role. Insider threats, all of those are activities that are more difficult to detect. However, with network logs, we see everything. Network logs, as you can see, don't lie. So whereas an endpoint might not have picked up something, endpoint, an EDR or a next-gen antivirus might not have picked up something, that behavior, that malicious behavior, needs the adversaries to perform certain actions. And again, once we've established that baseline of what's normal, and when we see things that are deviations from what's normal, for example, that user exfiltrating data on a large scale to an unknown endpoint or unknown web portal, that's anomalous. So with that, we see those transactions, we see those transactions, and it's all recorded within the network logs. And then also with network, we're able to correlate those multiple signals across devices, users, applications, wherever the adversary is taking action, we get to see from those multiple locations, correlate them, and identify that there is a risk on the network layer. And I think that's why the network is so important. As I mentioned, I've said it a few times already, but it's about recording all and seeing all the network transactions, whether it's benign behavior or whether it's adversarial behavior. We need to be able to see that, and network is the only place that really gives us all that insight. So if we look at the some of the challenges that we have with AI detection, you know, there's always going to be some cons to a solution and many pros in with AI detection, but there are, of course, some areas where there are challenges. So the first one is false positives or false negatives. So with a false positive, as an example, the AI may flag benign activities as threats, which leads to alert fatigue. We have too many alerts to look at, and that really does fatigue the security teams. False negatives, on the other hand, might fail to detect sophisticated attacks if the behavior appears normal. So if you, for example, keep ignoring a certain activity within your security team, eventually the AI is going to start analyzing this information and saying this has become normal behavior in our environment. Therefore, this particular type of activity, sophisticated attacks, now becomes part of what's normal. It does happen over time, so it does require quite a bit of ignoring those events. But there is the risk of, if you ignore events, that it could become considered normal within the AI realm. Adversarial AI, I spoke about this a moment. So testing and adapting techniques to bypass detection. That's the aim of adversarial AI. Living off the land are techniques, slow and low attacks is another one. Adversarial ML attacks, as I mentioned, where the attackers poison AI models by injecting data that could be misleading. So all these activities could lessen the effect of AI detection. The black box. So the black box problem means that, quite essentially, what it simply means is that AI could, or AI models can't always explain why there is a risk. And that's where you need that human analysis, the security team to be hands-on in able to identify, having the knowledge of cyber, the knowledge of tools, and of course, the knowledge of the environment, and understanding, putting that together, making sure that when we do find something, that it is flagged correctly, benign or malicious, we need to flag things correctly. And then needing continuous tuning and optimization. So this goes hand in hand with the three challenges above. So we need to continuously tune and optimize our models to make sure that they are relevant across the board. So as things change, as the goalposts move, moves, those we need to adjust those models to meet those changes in platform, in models, in activity. Sometimes the change is internal. Sometimes the business changes how it processes information, and that also has to be considered. And this is where you need, again, the security team, a team of analysts, to understand that change and then to make it relevant to the changed business. And of course, this is not an all-encompassing list of challenges, but certainly some of the most important ones as far as we're concerned. Context. So without that human context, we are not AI itself cannot make determinations about risk on its own. It needs human context. So if you consider that a piece of information about risk is going to be reviewed by AI, and it's going to apply policies, it's going to apply models, it's going to apply model defeats and so on and so forth. And it's going to make a determination about risk. Whereas an analyst might look at that exact same data and have context within the environment and know that this is not adversarial behavior, or it is adversarial behavior in contrast to what the AI might have found. So because of the human context, we are quite quickly able to identify what the most obvious, of course, what should be considered as malicious and what should not be considered as malicious. So not don't just take our word for it. We have some insights from Gartner and Splunk. So if you look at Gartner's perspective, I'll read it out for you. Gartner highlights the importance of integrating human oversight into AI strategy, security strategies. They stress that organizations often overlook risks associated with AI models until they're in production. And that's, of course, too late, underscoring the need for comprehensive governance to ensure AI systems are compliant, fair, reliable, and protect data privacy. So this is from Gartner. They're stressing the same or echoing the same sentiment as we are at Integrity 360. Splunk's insights, if you look at Splunk's State of Security 2024, that report revealed that 91% of security teams are using generative AI tools. However, 65% acknowledge that there's a lack of education, knowledge, skill around these technologies. And that's often ties into the underutilization of tools. There's many tools out there, and they all have their certain way of how they run. But it's important that when we have our security teams understand not only how to use the system, but how to harness the full potential. And there's often hidden gems within tools, and unless you go on a comprehensive training cycle, you're not going to necessarily pick that up quite easily. And that's where you rely on people who've already been on that road. So travel, take a journey. If you're about to embark on a journey, travel with someone who's been there before is a very good piece of advice. So if we look at what's needed to enhance our AI security strategy further, there's a couple of things, and these are all in line with best practices, not with a particular tool, but this is across the board. We've seen very similar types of best practices, and it's all applied. If you're familiar with the tool, the NDR tool Darktrace, you'd be familiar with the screenshot that I'm showing right now. And what this is, it gives you a total overview of what's going on in your environment. You'll see at the bottom of that screen, there is what's called the threat tray. And this shows the most important threats based on your choice. When you could choose to filter out everything above 75%, you could choose to filter everything above 50%. And then that threat tray will come alive based on what's happening in your environment. So this kind of analysis is an exercise that must be conducted regularly. So if we look at this kind of report, this could become part of an indicators of compromise report, which is simply a report that's done every single day, every second day, once a week, whatever your cadence is, your frequency that you prefer. Obviously, as a service provider, we recommend that this is done more often than not. And during these IOCs, what's important about them is that they are going to identify quite early in a kill chain stage that there is some benign, or let's not call it benign, let's call it low-level adversarial behavior. And that's important because that means we are identifying these risks quite high on the kill chain. And as you may know, a kill chain tells us that as you move down, there are seven steps usually, some have six, some have five, maybe one or two have more than that, but generally there are about six or seven steps on a kill chain. And right at the top, we have the reconnaissance phase of a kill chain. And when it's at that stage, it's easy to kill off an attack at that level. It will move down if it's allowed to, until it gets to a point at the bottom, the sixth or seventh step, which is success on objectives, which means that we are now in reactive mode. We're now reacting to something that's happened, and now we need to fix that. Whereas if we had dealt with it right at top, at the reconnaissance phase, where we're doing these regular checks, we're looking for those deviations from normal. And if we do it frequently, we're going to find those reconnaissance activities a lot sooner, and also at a state where it's easier to get rid of those would-be serious threats. All right, the next one, or the next best practice, talks to the balancing automation with validation. And that again talks to what I spoke about earlier, where I mentioned context from a human perspective and an analyst's perspective, that security team. So it's important to balance. If you see on the screen here, we have tags. Now, tags is an old age method of being able to build rules around automation. So many tools, in fact, if not all tools nowadays, have the ability to automate. But it's important to validate that. So we can build in points within our AI tools to make sure that that question is asked of an analyst, of a security team before moving ahead to the next level. The way we deal with SIEM SOAR activities has become very sophisticated. We can identify these junction points where a decision is made by a person. And the emphasis here, of course, is that validation part is a human effort. It is a team of security analysts, insourced, outsourced, co-sourced, whatever the method is preferred by the organization. But you need to have that. Often, if we do leave everything up to or fully automated, we may find that the risk of a disruption in services is far more devastating than an actual attack. So it's important to have the AI tools, the speed and functionality of AI, but also, again, the context of the analysts and the know-how of the analysts when it comes to making these critical decisions. Another best practice is to improve those models. So you'll see there's an example or an example of a model that can be changed. So if we this is a model that's typical in an NDR like Darktrace, and you are able to either mimic this, so you have the ability to copy this model, create something quite similar, and change the rules. So you could, for example, change the rules in how or when the AI would kick in. So you can tell it to delay a AI action. You could tell it to be or act swiftly. So it depends on, for example, ransomware attack. When we start seeing extensions, file extensions being changed at a rapid pace, that doesn't require more analysis from the AI. We would instruct that AI, that model, to act immediately. So we don't, the graph would say react quicker as opposed to learn more and then react. So it's important that you modify these models. And the only way you're going to modify them is if you understand your network, understand why certain activities are being triggered by certain models, and then enhancing them. And again, that requires integration, or not integration, let's rather say, to keep the finger on the pulse by the security teams that you employ or the analysts that you hire from different organizations or in an outsourced fashion. It's important that everyone stays aware or is aware of how and why models are being triggered. And that, of course, keeping that in check with modifying them as we need to. And of course, if you are serious about cybersecurity, you have to have a 24/7 monitoring capability. So with most service providers, and Integrity 360 is certainly no exception, we offer a 24/7 service for round the clock. So it doesn't matter which part of the world you're in, it doesn't matter what time of day you might have an event, it doesn't matter if you want to ask a question, for example, or there's a live event. And we have different ways of dealing with that and applying the 24/7 model. So for example, if we sent or an organization sent a report to you, you could, on the back of that report, raise questions, raise comments, raise concerns whenever you need it, 24/7. On the flip side, where there are cases where we need to call you or we need to make contact with you, that's also a 24/7 feature. So if, for example, we look at high severity events, those in the upper side of 80%, when they are triggered, we would then take the approach of contacting you as opposed to you contacting us. The bottom line is you need to have 24/7, whether it's outsourced or whether you build it internally, it's important to have that capability. And also to consider, 24/7 is no mean feat. It takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of coordination to make sure that there is capacity 24/7, 365. So that 24/7 is absolutely essential. I'm going to hand over to Rich now for a summary and some key takeaways of the discussion.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for those insights and going to a bit of depth there around NDR, around AI threat detection, and most importantly, some of the best practices. In terms of the summary, as we wrap up and head towards the Q&A, I think it's clear that AI security is powerful, but it's clearly not a silver bullet. Hidden threats still remain a challenge. Detection, as Chris talked about, there is only half the battle. Response, tuning prioritization matters just as much. Chris talked about an example at the very start around the sort of supermarket chain in Kenya. We've got some other great examples that our incident response team have provided. Just, I think we've talked about on a few other webinars, but plenty of examples of very much preventable threats, preventable breaches, where the tools were in place, not just NDR, but endpoint AI-powered tools in place, able to detect, actually detecting those threats, but due to that noise, due to that challenge of making sure that we're looking at the right needles in that stack of needles, that they've been missed, they haven't been looked at, and it's only after the event could we understand they were there. And then just finally, clearly a combination of the AI, the automation, so we can detect and move as quick as possible, but also make sure that we're utilizing that human expertise is very clearly the best approach. So that's the summary. Chris, if you want to just move us on the slide once more, I will take the opportunity while we have everybody just to talk about our Security First conferences that we are currently going kicked off in Europe last week in London, Dublin this week on Thursday. As you see, we've got a pretty full schedule as we move around Europe. And then into South Africa in May. So please, these are great conferences where it's all about peer insights, expert insights to help everybody share and understand best approaches as much as possible. So if you haven't registered, please register for the event, and hopefully we'll see you there soon. So lastly, on to the Q&A. If you want to go to the last slide, Chris, because I think we have a couple of questions in. If I can just pull these up now. So the first question, Chris, is don't most AI-driven NDR solutions auto-tune or adapt to each other? And actually, you can probably, the question's there on NDR, but you can probably broaden that out to AI-driven threat detection. So can they not auto-tune? Can they not adapt as required?
The ability to auto-tune or to adapt to what's happening in an environment, yeah, it does. It can do that, but it's not going to be able to. It's not about just about. Sorry, just give me a second. I've lost my place over here. Just give me a second. Yeah, sorry. So I was saying that any team that you have, any security team, is not just responsible for detecting. We also need to analyze, validate, and escalate these incidents. And in doing so, we're able to take those models and extend them and make them more applicable to each organization. When it tunes, when it tunes automatically or builds or grows according to an organization, it's taking what's normal. It's taking user behavior. Our task as experts and security analysts is to make sure that when we're finding certain things or looking at certain breaches or models that have been detected or breached constantly, is to make sure that now we're able to find the true source of that particular breach or that particular malicious activity. And it's about finding either we have two approaches. We could either expand the net wider, looking for more related activity, or we could narrow it down, trying to, once you've identified that this is the only the true source of, or patient zero, as you will, we can now enhance those models to look for those specific points of data points, whereas opposed to taking a much broader approach. What the AI does is it learns about that behavior, but it also has the ability to regard that behavior as normal if it's left untethered, unactioned, if you will. However, with the constant tuning, is we're casting our attention very specific, and we're not going to, for example, take a model out of the equation and modify it. We're going to leave that model in place. We're going to keep finding the keep detecting those, but the models we build in parallel to those models will give us, we'll then see a visible difference between what's been triggered by the traditional model and what's been triggered by the modified model. And that gives us the peace of mind that we are narrowing down to the right to patient zero.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris. So there's the other question that we have in that I'd say is quite closely linked to that, is how does your managed service enhance AI-driven threat detection? So you touched upon that in terms of the some of the best practices there, which we follow through our DSOC service to get the best out of NDR platforms. But perhaps you can sort of reiterate or go into a bit more depth around how our service enhances AI-driven threat detection.
So the AI generates alerts. I mean, that's what it does best. It generates alerts based on activity within the network. Our service, managed DSOC, our analysts, they provide that context that I mentioned earlier, the know in terms of the environment. And that context is built over time. So we typically get quite entrenched or within your team. So we become part and extension of that team. And that team dynamic also is responsible for the validation of that of those threats. And then of course the response, building the proper response. So we get the AI generated alerts at a massive rate. It's been collated, it's been analyzed, and with our context, our validation, and building the appropriate response is how we enhance the AI-driven threat detection. Teams can be overwhelmed by false positives. And with this approach, taking AI, providing that context from human context and human validation, and building appropriate responses and allows us to focus on real threats.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So that is it for the questions. And that is going to mark the end of the webinar. And that's it for myself and Chris. So just the last thing is for me to thank Chris for joining us today and walking us through AI threat detection and best practices. And also to thank all of you that have joined, and also those that are watching back on demand. So thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing you on our next weekly webinar. Thank you.
Thank you.